Okay, folks, once again, we're going to continue on. This is part two of Mount Zion, the 11th hour. We're still continuing on. Today is December the 2nd, 2023, or it is the 20th day of Shishlu 2027. I call this part two. We're going to continue on page 8, and the name of this is the time of the restitution of all things. Okay, that will be the complete title. It says, for the 144,000 being as the first fruits, there must therefore be the second fruits. For where there is the first, there must also be the second. And as the first fruits are the servants of the Yahweh, they must subsequently be sent unto all the nations for the gathering of the second fruits, Isaiah 6:19-20. For the great multitude, Revelation 7:9, of which the John saw after the viewing of the sitting of the 144,000, for a detailed study of this subject, the 144,000 and the great multitude, see our track number 1, pre-11th hour extra, the Shepherd Drive, volume 1, for the fact that in their mouth was found no guile, Revelation 14:5. Plainly goes to show that they are with the commission for the proclaiming of the pure gospel truth that is found in Hebrews chapter 10, the whole chapter, read the whole chapter, especially verses 19 and 20, and make their words as authoritative and as mandatory as the written words of the prophets and of the apostles. Indeed, these first fruits are invested with the ever greater power and authority. For in that day shall the Yahshua, I know the tract here has Yahweh, that's talking about saying about the Father, but this is Yahshua. He has come to this earth to take the reins in his own hand and take charge of his kingdom that was given unto him at his inauguration when he went back to heaven after his crucifixion. Defend the inhabitants of the Jerusalem. So Yahshua is going to be here in person. He's going to be standing with the Lamb on the Mount of Zion. That's in Israel with 144,000. Defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Okay. And he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as the David, and the house of the David shall be as the Yahweh, as the Father, and as the angel of the Yahweh before them. What did Yahweh tell Moses? Says, I have made you a God to the people. That's in Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. He said, when I can send you down to Egypt, I made you as myself. In other words, you're an angel. You have the same title as an angel that goes before me. I made you as myself to the people. And the house of David shall be as the Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. So here you have it in writing. Also in that day, further reveals to Zechariah that there shall be a fountain open unto the house of the David, everlasting kingdom of heaven here on earth. Daniel 2:44-45, the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, and unto to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, which is the capital of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem are your leadership. The laity don't live in Jerusalem. They live in the hill countries of Judea. In Jerusalem, you only have the leaders, the ministry. It lives in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, of Judah. For sin and for uncleanness. So it says, House of David, and unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem, when this fountain for the sin and for the uncleanness is finally open unto the house of the David, as the crowning evidence will be seen that the consolidation of the two kingdoms is an accomplished fact, and that the time has come for the proclamation of the gospel in all of the world. Now pay close attention to this. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Yahshua of the host. Anytime you see that word host, you're talking about the Son. He's the captain of the Yahshua's host. He's a king. That I will cut off from the names of the idols. Okay, I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered, and also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land, Zechariah 13:2, that is at the time that this gospel proclaiming kingdom, in other words, this people that are preaching the plan of the salvation is the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews 10. They're called the gospel proclaiming kingdom. Is set up. It will be a purified church without the guile, free from all idolaters and false teachers, and it shall be fed by the one shepherd, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and I, the Yahweh, will be their Yahweh, and my servant David, a prince among them, Ezekiel 34:23-24. When the Yahweh thus takes the reins in his own hand. Testimonies to ministers, page 300, and again rules the church as a theocratic government. In the last days, it shall come to pass, as the Isaiah reveals, that the mountain of the Yahshua's house, let's do it again, for the mountain of the Yahweh, the Father's house, shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Okay, now what is the mountain of the house of Yahweh? That's the house of David, everlasting kingdom of heaven, Daniel 2:44-45. I shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up unto the mountain of the Yahweh, unto the house of the Yahweh of the Jacob, and he will teach us of his way. Okay, let's do it again. It says, and many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up unto the mountain of the Yahshua, the Son, unto the house of the Yahshua of the Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. Now, what does Yahshua say in John 14:6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he used that word way. So it says, we're going to go up to that mountain these last days. We're going to learn whose ways? Yahshua's ways. John 14:6. And we will walk in his paths. For out of the Zion shall go forth the law. When you have, you see that word, the law all by itself, it's talking about nothing but the sanctuary system in operation. The whole law of the moral code of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, and of the symbolic code of the sanctuary system. Of the sacrificing of the, for the remission of sins with the blood. And the word of the Yahshua from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations. Okay, so Yahshua is here on earth, and he's come here for one reason, that he's going to gather all nations before him, and he's going to set the sheep on the right and the goats on the left, and that's in Matthew 32, 33, and 34, the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into the plowshares. Okay. After he rebukes as many people, they become born again. They have their iniquities purged. They're without sin now. So now that once they have accepted Yahshua and Yahshua has redeemed them by his blood, they're going to say, well, Yahshua is going to fight for us. We don't have no need of these weapons anymore. We have accepted Yahshua, our Redeemer. He's here in person. And he said he will fight our battles for us. So we'll just beat our swords in the plowshares and go help him do some farming and harvesting. Okay, so it says, he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into the plowshares. When he rebukes them, that means they have accepted the rebuke and they become converted, born again, and washed in the blood of the Yahshua that rebuked them. And then they say, well, we'll just go turn our weapons into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nations, neither shall they learn war any more. So when this process is in operation, then every time you have a nation that has been rebuked and they have accepted and repented, Yahshua removes their iniquity, then they follow him and they add one nation to another. As Yahshua goes throughout the whole world with the 144,000 intact, and he takes the house of David, and they go throughout the whole world rebuking nations, and these nations joining up, and then that ends war forever. Mm-hmm. So, with the ushering in of this everlasting kingdom and the consequent restitution of all things, there shall be, on the one hand, a great awakening among the nations, scrapping vast stores of the war implements, which they have for years been laying up. They shall seek to go up and become subjects of the everlasting kingdom of the heaven, and David here on the earth, and for the joining of the armies of the Yahshua, allowing him to fight for them. There it is right there. While on the other hand, there shall be feverish war preparation among those who refuse to awaken, hurling all into a super armament program. They turn even their farm implements into the weapons of the war against the kingdom of the Yahshua, his purified kingdom, Joel 3:9-12, Zechariah 12:3. Therefore, thy gates shall be open continually, they shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles. Now look at this, forces of the Gentiles. I don't like that word forces to be used for the same thing as wealth or for gold and silver, but that's what it means. It says, bring unto thee the wealth or the riches or the gold and the silver of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Yahshua, as the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. There it is, right there, Isaiah 60, verse 11 and 14. This is the Son's city. For further study on this phase of the subject, see the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1, page 173 to 181, explain Micah 4 and as a typical example of how the battle is the Yahshua's. Read 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15, 19, 24 to 30, about being far, very far from such an high and holy estate, the purified church must be purified. Okay, so I read that again. The church must be purified. For no Christian of any faith can honestly deny the church's need of the purification. And as Yahweh never does anything without the forewarning his church, he is now sending unto her the message of the purification in order for giving her a foretaste of the future glory, so that as the heavens clarion and call for the Reformation continues sounding forth among his people, they may have a keen relish for its truth and may give themselves wholeheartedly unto the work of the reform. Right now, while he is clearly laying before them his plan for the setting up of his kingdom, with the consequent result that the sinners, those who give implicit heed unto the call, shall have an irresistible desire for the coming fully into the line and for the having of the Yahshua separate them from the sin and sinners. For they alone shall receive the seal of the Yahweh. That seal is found in Revelation 3:12. And it's actually three seals. And as the first fruits of the kingdom, 144,000 strong, stand with the Lamb on the Mount Zion, such a state of the holiness for today, just as in the past, caused the dragon, Satan the devil, to be wroth with the purified woman, Revelation 12:17, also now to make war with her remnant, a conflict which is further described in the word. For I saw the four angels standing on the four corners of the earth at the time of the sealing of the 144,000, holding the four winds and of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living Yahweh, and he cried with a loud voice unto the four angels, unto whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our Yahweh in their foreheads. Revelation 7:1-3. here are brought to view two herdings about to take place, one by the winds, the other by the angels, and two commands unto the angels, one that they restrain the winds, that the winds blow not on the earth. Earth means the United States in prophecy, it's talking about the U.S., nor on the sea, that's talking about the old country, Europe and the East, over the waters, nor on any tree, that means any preacher, any minister, on any leader. Revelation 7:1. For the other, that the angels restrain themselves from the herding, the earth, sea, and the trees tell the servants of the 144,000 of the Yahweh are sealed, Revelation 7:2-3. Since therefore, as soon as the servants of the Yahweh are sealed, both the winds and the angels will begin to hurt the, for the question arises as, to what the work of the winds and the work of the angels represent. About the political strife or something else. As the nations have always been at the war, this twofold work of the herding could not represent political strife. And as the Yahshua says, that all the time of, at the time of the end, nation shall not rise against nation, and kingdom against the kingdom of Matthew 24:7. For it is clear that the herding by the winds, also the herding by the angels, both of which are kept back until the 144,000 are sealed, must be figurative of the holding back the time of the trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, Daniel 12:1. Right now, before the sealing of the 144,000, we're entering into a preliminary time of trouble. This is the sitting up of it. We're not actually into the full-blown time of trouble yet, until after the 144,000 is sealed. Accordingly, Yahweh's restoring, or restraining, of the four winds is his holding back the image of the beast activity, Revelation 13:15-17, against the saints. While his restraining of the four angels, that they hurt not, is his holding back the executing of his vengeance, Isaiah 63:1-4, Jeremiah 51:18, upon the sinners who trouble the purified church of the kingdom, until after the sealing of the 144,000, and is completed, being coupled, these two herdings bring the time of the trouble such as never was. Revelation 7:1-3, therefore, reveals a twofold conflict, wicked man against Yahweh, the blowing of the winds, and Yahweh against them, as the angels hurting them. But though the blowing of the winds and the hurting of the angels after the servants of the Yahweh are sealed will bring the time of the trouble, yet every one that shall be found written in the book shall be delivered, Daniel 12:1. So those that are written in the book that are delivered, they don't have to worry about the time of trouble.
They go through part of it.
They don't have to go through it. Yet I hear saying, well, the 144,000 is going to go through the time of trouble. The time of trouble starts after they're sealed and delivered. From these facts, we see that this time of the trouble is held back and the order for the safeguarding of the seating of the 144,000 servants, lest say, as the very elect be brought down for the worshiping of the image of the beast, or be killed for the refusing. Since in the Revelation all the books of the Bible meet and end, Acts of the Apostles by Ellen G. White, 585, for the seating of the servants of the Yahweh, Revelation 7, must necessarily be found also in the prophecies, and Ezekiel chapter 9 is envisioned the marking of those who sigh and cry for all the abomination that be done in the midst thereof, and Judah, and in Israel, and the slaughter of those who do not thus sigh and cry, and the fact that the Yahweh has at no time taken the sinners from among the righteous in Judah and in Israel, shows that this prophecy of the purification by the slaughter has never been fulfilled. So, therefore, as the marking is the same as the sealing, the angel slain is the same as the angel's hurting. For this hurting and sealing which the John saw, and the slaughter and marking which the Ezekiel saw, are again identified as the one and the same. This sealing of the sons of Yahweh is the same that was shown unto Ezekiel in vision. Sister White makes the comment that Testimonies to Ministers, page 445. Testimonies, volume 5, page 211, and also volume 3, page 267. Although the marking and the slaughter of the Ezekiel 9 include only the Seventh-day Adventist Church, Judah, and Israel, the hurting by the winds and the hurting by the angel, Revelation 7, include all of the world. Both the earth, the United States in prophecy, is called the earth, and the sea is called the old world, each of which is indicative of a different locality. The sea and the realm of the nature as the storehouse, home of the waters, is therefore in the realm of the symbols as the birthplace of the nation. The old country, the earth, as the opposite of the sea, is correspondingly a domain away from the old country. It is located unto John, in the symbol of the two-horned beast is coming up not out of the sea, but out of the earth. Revelation 13:11. For the only place where trees naturally grow, and as according unto Daniel 4:20-22, trees are figurative of the rulers, therefore the trees in this instance represent the ancient man before the house, Ezekiel 9:6, a fact which reveals that in this period, the church's headquarters are in the two-horned beast's dominion. The new world, the earth. Okay, so you get that? The purified church's headquarters are in the two-horned beast's dominion in the new world, and that's where we're at right here. We're in Texas and in the New World. And so this is where the everlasting kingdom of heaven is going to be set up to start with. Here in this New World. And we're in charge of it. House of David. In the light of the clear-cut facts before us, we see that the main object of the sealing or marking of the servants of the Yahweh is for the cleansing of the church from the sin and sinners, that would be Daniel 8:14, cleansing of the sanctuary by the blood, by the judgment system, so that she may be able to stand strong against the image of the beast in the time of the trouble. and that when this purifying work is completed, it shall come to pass that he that is left in the Zion, and he that remaineth in the Jerusalem, except the war of Zechariah 14, shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem, after the Zechariah 14 war is over with, when the Yahshua the Son shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion by his own blood, and shall have purged the blood of the Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of the judgment that's coming through the sanctuary system, where the high priest offers up his sprinkled blood for the remission of the sins for those that are being judged, and by the spirit of the burning. This is by the Holy Spirit, Isaiah 4:3-4. When this special work of the purification of the putting away of the sins among the Yahweh's people is accomplished, then the purified church is to enter upon her final conflict. That's the purified church of the David, of the kingdom of David, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banner. And that's also Joel chapter 2. That's also Revelation chapter 19, the man on the white horse, with his army coming from heaven to do battle with the wicked here on this earth. She is to go forth into all the world, conquering and to conquer. So once this purified kingdom of heaven that Yahweh has placed us in charge of, once we become purified ourselves, then we can bring forth the purified 144,000, and then the purified Gentiles, and then they make up this great colossal army with a 200 million addition there in Revelation 9:16, and the 200 million addition that come from heaven to join them. So you have 400 million right there in Revelation 9:16 that joins this great army of Joel chapter 2 and Joel chapter 3. That says there had never been an army like that ever since the world began, in Joel chapter 2. And the Yahweh will create upon every dwelling place of the Mount Zion, in the 12th hour, house of David, and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by the day, and the shining of a flaming fire by the night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle. That means a sanctuary system, actually a literal building, for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of the refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from the rain, and they shall call them the holy people. The redeemed of the Yeshua, the Son, and thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken, Isaiah 4:5-6, Isaiah 62:12. What does it say in Isaiah 62:12? If the kingdom and nation that will not serve thee, I will utterly destroy them, it says. For the entire church acting as the one, blending in the perfect union, is to be a living, active, missionary agency, moved and controlled by the Holy Spirit. All that the apostles did, every church member today is to do. His workers will then see eye to eye, and the arm of the Yeshua, which is the house of David, that's the arm of Yeshua, with the power of which was seen in the life of the Yahshua, will be revealed. Testimony, Volume 8, page 47, Volume 7, page 33, Volume 9, by page 33, by the Ellen G. White. Then it shall come to pass, saith the Yahshua, that I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, and the heathen in this case is called those terrors of the Adventist Church that call themselves Israelites. They were actually nothing but a bunch of terrorists and classified as heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen, those terrorists in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, shall know that I am the Yahshua, saith the Yahshua, when I shall be sanctified in you, the 144,000, in the Adventist Church, before their eyes. Those terrorists are going to be right there in those pews witnessing the sanctification of those that didn't accept that Trinity doctrine and was condemned. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all of your idols. Okay. Will I cleanse you, and a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your Yahweh. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you, and I will multiply the fruit of the tree, and the increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of the famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abomination. Not for your sakes do this says to Yahshua, be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of the Israel, the 12 tribes that have been joined together. Thus saith the Yahshua, and the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquity, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Yahshua, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Yahshua, have spoken it, and I will do it. Ezekiel 36:23-36. Again, the cleansing of the temple from the world's buyers and sellers. The Yahshua announced his mission. First, for the cleansing of the heart from the defilement of the sin, from the earthly desires, the selfish lust, the evil habits that corrupt the soul, the desire of the ages 161, and second, to cleanse the entire church from the sin and sinners. As twice, once in the closing of the John the Baptist proclamation of the kingdom, and in the opening of the gospel dispensation at the beginning of the Yeshua's ministry, and once at the close of his work and at the opening of the apostle, special testimonies to the ministers, number 7, page 54, For he cleansed the temple from the unholy practices by which the Jews had desecrated it, John 2:15-16, Matthew 21:12-13. He thereby twice gave warning in the type that also in the closing of the Christian dispensation he will twice cleanse his church. Once at the sealing of the first fruits, 144,000, the cleansing of the Adventist Church, and again at the sealing of the second fruit, the great multitude, Revelation 7:1-9. You understand? Since both of these cleansings, moreover, took place at the feast of the Passover, and since too all who had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, 2 Chronicles 30 verse 3, Exodus 12, 3, 6, were forbidden for the to participate in the Passover and the first month, but were permitted to prepare for it and to celebrate in the second month. Numbers 9:11, 2 Chronicles 30, verse 13. Thereby is typified by the purification of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in two sections, thus showing still again that there are two gatherings, two sealings, two separations, two companies, first fruits and second fruits. For the further treatment of the two sealings, see our tract number 1, pre-11th hour extra, and for the antitype of the Passover, the Shepherd's Rod, volume 2, page 256. There must be, says the spirit of prophecy, a cleansing of the institution similar unto the Yahshua's cleansing of the temple of old. It is written, says the Yahshua, my house shall be called a house of prayer. That's Isaiah 56, but you have made it a den of thieves. There are in our institutions today transactions similar unto those that took place in the temple courts in the Yahshua's time, and all the heaven is looking on. For the Yahshua will work for the purifying of his congregation. I tell you in the truth that the Yahshua is about to turn and overturn in the institutions as called by his name. Just how soon this refining process will begin, I cannot say, but it will not be long deferred. He whose fan is in his hand will cleanse his temple of its moral defilement. He will thoroughly purge his floor. That's written in Brethren and the Responsible Positions, September 1895, by Ellen G. White. In the parabolical preview of the purification of the church, the Messiah declared, for the angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, Matthew 13:49. Take away the wicked and leave the good. Whereas in the Revelation, addressing his own, in the Babylon, he says, come out of her, my people, Revelation 18:4, calling the righteous out and leaving the wicked in. The former are purified by the wicked being cast out from among them, the latter by their being taken out from among the wicked. Also, there are two distinct parables of the talents, Matthew 25:15-30, Luke 19:13-27, both of which pointedly enter the picture in its present sitting, and the one are the three servants and the other 10 servants. Thus, this significant difference shows that the former of the three servants has only a local application, meaning that they only work here in the United States, whereas the latter has a worldwide application, incidentally showing, as does the Shepherd Rod, Volume 2, page 85, that in the Scriptures, Numbers 10 stands for the universality, and number 3 for the Trinity and the Church. Now, this is a big mistake by B.T. Hollis. The number 3 does not stand for the Trinity and the Church because there is no Trinity in the Church. So, B.T. Hollis, this is where he made his first crucial mistake and got the Adventist sidetracked, causing the terrorists the heathen, then the lineup, and when the Catholic, false Catholic Trinity doctrine was brought into the Adventist Church by those general conference leaders of Jesuits, they brought that Trinity doctrine in then, because V.T. Holliff opened up the way for it. This unalterable truth of the type and parable, and the word of his testimony, brings us face to face with the solemn reality that we are coming to the time of the antitypical Passover and cleansing of the temple, and in the harvest of the world, with by the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. For the spirit of the Yahweh, of the Yahshua, bids us with the awful solemnity, get ready, get ready, get ready, for the fierce anger of the Yahshua is soon to come. His wrath is to be poured out unmixed with the mercy, and you are not ready. Rend the heart and not your garments. Early writings, page 119. Oh, let no one be misled into thinking that after the close of the probation, or after the second coming of the Yahshua, after the sinners in the world have been destroyed, that the Yahweh's church shall attain unto the exalted standards of the character and unto the high office appointed of heaven, and be purified from sin and sinners. On the contrary, and that day before the sinners in the world have been destroyed, says the Yahshua, will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. Though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it, and that day shall the Yahshua, the Son, defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And what it says so then in Zechariah 14. And he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as the David, and the house of the David shall be as the Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. And it shall come to pass in that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Yahweh, and the pots in the Yahweh's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Yahweh of the host. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seed therein, and in that day there shall be no more of the Canaanite in the house of the Yahshua of the host. Zechariah 12, 3. 8, 9, Zechariah 14, 20, and 21. For these verses express declare that the church will be as the Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before them, during the time of the trouble, when the nation shall gather against her, and the Yahweh in the vengeance shall then smite them. Probation still lingering while this sequence of the events take place. All they that sacrifice and act which is performed before the close of the probation shall therefore be holy, and there shall be no more of the Canaanite in the house of the Yahweh. Every true Bible student knows that the church must reach this purity of the heart and character and position not after but before the Yahshua's mediatorial work is finished and before the sacrifice has ceased. All such students know also that the Yahshua can neither manifest his great power for the defending them in the time in which all the people of the earth gather together against them, nor bestow his spirit upon them as he did upon the early apostolics on the day of the Pentecost, if there are sinners among his people, and if the entire church be not with the one accord, Acts 2:1, clad in the armor of the serious righteousness, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, cheerful as an army with banners, as was the apostolic church upon which the Spirit descended as a rushing mighty wind, Acts 2:2. Only those, says the Spirit of the prophecy, who have withstood and overcome temptation through the strength of the mighty one will be permitted for the action of a part and the proclaiming of this message when it shall have swelled into the large cry. Review and Herald, November 19, 1908. And that the loud cry fail not to sound on the time or law, those who do not overcome, those who have betrayed their trust, like the ancient men, those under whom the Yahweh had given great light and who had stood as the guardians of the spiritual interests of the people, must be removed. This is forcibly set forth by the prophet's illustration of the last work under the figure of the man, each having a slaughter weapon in his hand. Testimony of Divine Three, page 266. Men, maidens, and little children all perish together, volume 5, page 211. Confronted with the towering certainty of the Church's imminent purification, sealing, and subsequent glory, we hasten for the facing of the Church's condition just before the purification. What greater deception can come upon the human mind than a confidence that they are right when they are all wrong? For the message of the true witness, and Yahshua is the true witness, Revelation 1:5, finds the people of the Yahweh, the Father, in a sad deception, yet honest in that deception. For they know not that their condition is deplorable in the sight of the Yahweh, while those addressed are flattering themselves that they are in an exalted spiritual condition. The message of the true witness, Yahshua, Revelation 1:5, breaks this carnal security by the startling denunciation of the true condition of the spiritual blindness, poverty, and wretchedness, for the testimony is so cutting and severe that it cannot be a mistake, for it is the true witness, Yahshua, who speaks, and his testimony must be correct. Testimony, Volume 3, page 252 and 3, by Ellen G. White. Who can truthfully say our gold is tried in the fire, our garments are unspotted by the world? I saw our instructor pointing unto the garments of the so-called righteousness, stripping them off. He laid bare the defiler beneath. Then he said unto me, can you not see how they have pretentiously covered up the defilement and rottenness of the character? How is a faithful city, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, become a harlot? My Father's house is made a house of the merchandise, a place whence the divine presence and glory have departed. For this cause there is weakness and strength is lacking. Testimony, Volume 8, page 250. For the ancient men, those unto whom Yahweh had given great light, and Brother Johnson was the last ancient man, my pastor at Gilead Center in Kermit, Texas, 2002, that had to be, he was the first one that came under the judgment of 1 Peter 4:17, where the judgment must begin at the house of Yahweh. Ezekiel 9:6 starts with the ancient men for the house. Brother Johnson was the most ancient man for the house at the Passover 2002, and he was the first one to be judged and taken out, who has stood as the guardians of the spiritual interests of the people, have betrayed their trust. These dumb dogs that would not bark are the ones who feel the just vengeance of an offended Yahweh. Men, maidens, and little children all perish together. Testimony, Volume 5, page 211, by the E.G. White. It is difficult for those who feel secure in their attainments and who believe in themselves to be rich in the spiritual knowledge for the receiving of the message which declares that they are deceived and in the need of every spiritual grace. Let's do it again. Declares that they are deceived and in the need of every spiritual grace. For the unsanctified heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Testimony, Volume 3, page 253. Here are many who do not have the discretion of the Joshua and who have no special duty for the searching out of the wrong, for the dealing properly with the sins existing among them. Let not such hinder those who have the burden of this work upon them. Let them not stand in the way of those who have this duty to do. Some make it a point for the questioning and for the doubting and for the finding fault because others do the work that the Yahweh has not laid upon themselves. For these stand directly in the way for the hindering of those upon whom the Yahweh has laid the burden of the reproving and for the correction of the prevailing sins, that of his own may be turned away from the people. Should a case like the Achans be among us, there are many who would accuse those who might act the part of the Joshua in the searching out of the wrong of having a wicked fault finding spirit, for Yahweh is not to be trifled with, and his warnings disregarded with impunity by a perverse people. For the Yahweh displeasure is upon his people, and he will not manifest his power in the midst of them while sins exist among them and are fostered by those in the responsible position. Those who work in the fear of the Yahweh for the ridding of the church of the hindrances and for the correcting of the grievous wrong, that the people of the Yahweh may see the necessity for the abhorring of sin and may prosper in their purity, and that the name of the Yahweh may be glorified, forever meet with the resisting influences from the unconsecrated. Zephaniah thus describes the true state of this class and the terrible judgments that will come upon them. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search the Jerusalem with the candles and punish the men that are settled on their leaves, that say in their heart, the Yahshua will not do good, neither will he do evil. For the great day of the Yahshua is near, it is near, and hasteth greatly, even by the voice of the day, or with the voice of the day of the Yahshua. For the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. When it says mighty man, it's talking about the ministers, it's talking about they're the mighty ones in the midst of the congregation. When the crisis finally comes, as it surely will, and the Yahweh speaks in the behalf of his people, those who have sinned, those who have been a cloud of the darkness, and who have stood directly in the way of the Yahweh's working for his people, may become alarmed at the length they have gone in the murmuring and in the bringing discouragement upon the cause. And like the Achan, becoming terrified, they may acknowledge that they have sinned, but their confessions are too late and are not of the right kind for the benefit of themselves, although they may relieve the cause of the Yahweh. Those who have been nearly all their lives controlled by a spirit as foreign unto the spirit as the Yahweh, Elsewhere, the agents will be very passive when the time comes for the decided action on the part of all. They will not claim to be on the other side. Testimony, Volume 3, page 272. We have been inclined to think that where there are no faithful ministers, there can be no true believers, born-again believers. But this is not the case of the Yahweh. This is not the case. For the Yahweh has promised that where the shepherds are not true, or not spirit again, for the Yahshua the Son has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. For the Yahshua has never made the flock wholly dependent upon the human instrumentality, but the days of the purification of the church are hastening on apace. For the Yahshua will have a people pure and true, and the mighty sifting soon to take place. We shall be better able for the measure of the strength of Israel. For the signs reveal that the time is near when the Yahshua will manifest that his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. And it says, those who have trusted unto intellect, genius, or talent will not then stand at the head of the rank and file. They did not keep pace with the light. Those who have proved themselves unfaithful will not then be entrusted with the flock. In the last solemn work, few great men will be engaged, for they are self-sufficient, independent of the Yahweh, and he cannot use them. For the Yahweh has the faithful servants who, in the shaking, testing time, will be disclosed to you. There are precious ones now hidden who have not bowed the knee to Baal. They have not had the light which has been shining in a consecrated blaze upon you. But it may be under a rough and uninviting exterior, the pure brightness of a genuine Christian character will be revealed. Testimony, Volume 5, page 881. The foregoing series of statements show that the church must be cleansed before the rest of the Yahweh's people are gathered out of all countries. Then in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, says to Yahweh, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land, Joel 3, 1 and 2. But to be delivered from the captivity and for the hearing of the Yahweh's plead, there for his people, one dare not spurn now his pleadings. This brings in about steps this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour. Call us. Number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.
Whosoever will. Whosoever hear it, shout, shout the sound. Send the blessed tidings all the world around. With the joyful news. Every man is kind. Whosoever will come. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. Send the proclamation over Bethlehem Hill. He's a loving father. How's a wonder home. Whosoever will come. Whosoever cometh, need not delay. Now the door is open, enter by ye may. Now shivers the truth, our only living way. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will. The proclamation over Bethlehem Hill. Is a loving father, calls a wonder home. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, our promise secure. Whosoever will, forever must must endure. Whosoever will, his lot will ever more. Whosoever bears my charms, whosoever bears, whosoever will, send the proclamation of the day.